You're listening to Dynamo's Dozen. Now let's welcome your host, Dean Dynamo Kelly.
Welcome to Dynamo's Dozen, the podcast that I bring you each and every single week, where I talk about whatever may be on my mind, from pro wrestling, sports, entertainment, music, movies, muesli, fresh socks and jocks, and everything in between, never forgetting the talc. And welcome back to Dynamo's Dozen. This week, we have got a very, very special episode of Dynamo's Dozen as we speak to the Beats Man, that's right, Bauer Power, Jimmy Bauer from down. So before we get to Jimmy Bauer this week, why don't we take it back to Down's 25th anniversary of the incredible, incredible debut album, NOLA. Enjoy. A lifer.
Yeah. fucking much. Yeah, you're right.
Welcome to Dynamo's Dozen. I am here finally with one of my favorite musicians, pretty much of all time. I've now got the second member of Down on Dynamo's Dozen here in Ireland, a man that I've seen live many times, and a man that has been in many bands as well. I Hate God, Superjoint, Down, to name a few. And I'm sure we're going to get into many more as we continue on in the journey of conversation. Mr. Bower Power himself, Jimmy Bower, welcome to the show, and thank you for taking the time to come and speak with me today.
Thank you, man. It's good to be here.
It's incredible. It is an honor, and I don't say that lightly, my friend. I was very lucky enough to obviously see you guys as part of Down when you came over to Ireland back, I believe, in like 2000, and I want to say like 2005 or 2006 when the first reunion happened, and it was the end. You probably remember. Was that 07? Yeah, it was the last night of the tour as well. You boys literally pretty much played the whole set, I believe.
But hang on, let me get closer to my router, man.
That's okay, dude. That's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying, yeah, it was 07, but I believe that you guys pretty much, I remember that gig so well, because obviously Diary of a Mad Band kind of documented that as well. But you guys actually played, you pretty much played everything that night, because it was the last night of the tour, right? It was pretty much one of the last nights of the tour. Over in Dublin, in the Ambassador.
Oh, okay, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, it was.
It was one of the. Yeah, we were. If I remember right, we were doing the Evening with Down thing, and that was like 2.5 hours of music. So it was really cool because we played stuff up all three releases, you know, and it was just fun to finally play some songs that the fans had been requesting for.
Yeah, it was really cool, man. It was because, yeah, you guys had obviously come back to Ireland a couple of times at that stage. I think you'd played maybe twice, I want to say. But it was a really, really, really cool tour. And it was one of those kind of... Yeah, that's it. It's
we funny. Love Ireland, man.
And we appreciate you. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of fans that always love hearing you guys come over. I was lucky enough to get it's actually a funny story, the bar across the road from the Ambassador where it was called Fibber McGee's. That was like the little rock bar, and Rex happened to be there, and everybody was kind of wrecking Rex's head, like asking for photos and stuff, and I kind of went, alright, I've never met Rex Brown before, so I'm gonna say one thing and one thing only, and I went up to Rex and I just said, Rex, I don't want a photograph. I don't want an autograph. I just want to let you know, I really appreciate everything you've done for music and everything that we've done. And he looked so happy. He was like, you know what? And he had a marker. I swear to God, he had a marker. I had a green shirt on, and he went, I'm gonna make you Zorro. he done a Zorro on the front of my T-shirt. And it was really funny because. Even when we watched it a couple of times, it was always that little Z on the front of the T-shirt. It was really cool. Jimmy, I suppose let's start off. You obviously, you're born and bred in New Orleans, Louisiana, right?
Yeah. Yeah, born and raised.
When, I mean, obviously, you're kind of you're most known for really for I Hate God, because that is your band. But as a lot of people. And in fairness, a lot of people don't know this. In New Orleans, you guys kind of almost trade a lot. Like, you know, you all kind of work with each other. Different bands play different musicians, different instruments and stuff like that. For you growing up, in New Orleans, what was your kind of influence? What kind of got you into music? And I guess, what was your first instrument? Because you, as good a drummer as you are, you're also known for being a badass guitar player as well. In my opinion, no, anyway.
I started off on drums, man. So, started on drums, and then I didn't start playing guitar until I was around 18. But growing up in New Orleans, you got Mardi Gras, you know, which is, you know, got tons of bands in it. So, you know, you grow up seeing music in front, like right in front of your face constantly. So, I guess New Orleans is a good city like that. It's just real musically involved, and I don't know, just that, and you know, my mom was cool enough to buy me like cool records when I was young, so that helped. Like, I got into Kiss when I was young, and that kind of spawned me getting into heavier stuff, you know. So
it's funny that you mentioned Kiss, because Kiss always seems to be kind of like almost the gateway. For a lot of bands, you know, it's like the gateway to the next level, and they kind of learn. I think the Beatles are another band as well that you'll hear a lot of musicians talk about as being a band that inspired them to become, I suppose, better than what they are. You know what I mean? Would you have been a Beatles fan? Would you have been into any kind of artists? Like, for example, I remember when I was a kid, I found like a record. I bought a CD, and it was called The Roots of Mardi Gras, and it was just basically all Cajun/French/Irish music, and it was showing the roots of Mardi Gras in the like 1920s and the 1930s, where there was no vocals or anything on it. It was just all music, and it was basically all brass bands playing and stuff like that. Would that have been stuff that you grew up with as well? Or
yeah, like I just said, you know, Mardi Gras every year. So being a kid, you know, you're standing on the street and the bands go right in front of your face, you know, marching bands.
Yeah, sure. Like sorry. Bands. Yeah.
And there's other, you know, like they'll have floats with like jazz bands on it and stuff like that. And it's just music is a big part of Mardi Gras. So it definitely rubbed off on me, as well as a lot of other musicians from here, you know. So it's kind of like an advantage, I think, you know.
Yeah. And when you look at, so, you mentioned Kiss, obviously. Kiss was kind of one of your bands that really kind of you obviously grew up listening to. So when you're looking at like I Stole Your Love to going into like I Hate God stuff, what do you think the transition was for you in terms of, and the reason I'm asking that question is because obviously nowadays in the modern era, young bands that are trying to, I suppose, replicate their influences, they tend to just completely rip off their influences, and I mean that with respect, but they do. Whereas,
yeah,
for example, any of the music that you've been involved in, whether it be I Hate God, whether it be Down, whether it be Superjoint, I'm going to bring a project up to you later that you probably wouldn't have known that I'd know about, but we'll do that one later. But those three bands, that you're able to kind of progress what you've actually heard into making your own sound. What do you think it is that is the difference from you guys back then to the modern day music in a lot of ways? And like, I say that with respect to modern day music, but I don't know.
No, I mean, just, we would take all the bands that we're into and all our influences and just, you know, just, I mean, I think that's what everybody does, you know, is tries to rip off their favorite bands, you know?
Yeah.
But we're kind of conscious about trying to do something original and not totally sound like everybody else, you know. Like, being unique was a big deal for all the bands I was in, you know. So, like, I Hate God, they had nothing but, you know, thrash bands and speed metal bands going on. And, you know, we were like super slow, you know, would piss people off. It was,
yeah,
it was kind of a fun thing. And with Down was like, we wanted to do, you know, kind of do a rock project that was, you know, like St. Vitus or Witchfinder General or Trouble, you know, and stuff like that. And
obviously with, you know, the Sabbath influence and stuff. A lot
has to do with who you're jamming with and the chemistry that you get together with those guys, you know? So, I mean, it's just like, I don't know, one of the famous lines that we always say in interviews is, if you want to start a band, pick your favorite 10 bands and rip them the fuck off, you know?
Yeah, and that's, I'm glad you said that, Jimmy, because that's kind of what I meant. Like, I mean, I know from trying to start bands myself, when we were, you know, we'd pick bands like Motorhead and Black Sabbath and Judas Priest and Maiden and Pantera and Down, and we would try and just mesh it all together, you know what I mean? To finally find our own sound.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, because you guys were our influences, but what I'm saying is, in the modern era, you kind of find that, like, it's like one band will just rip off one band completely, and that's it. You know, they don't take that whole kind of catalogue, that back catalogue of stuff that's come before, and try and kind of mesh their own sound. It's just like, yeah, we're just going to be this. You know, we're just going to be whatever the hell. Although I do think mainstream, and I say mainstream, metal, should we say, heavy rock is kind of dead in its own right. When it comes to being, being promoted, which I'm pretty sure you would agree, because it's not necessarily promoted on, you know, on TV anymore or anything like that. Maybe in the rock magazines, probably, but it's not as big a deal as it was maybe, say, 10 years ago. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, a lot has to do with the internet. You know, it's everything's on the internet now, and you can search things. You know, it's like 10 years ago, you didn't really, I mean, well, 10, 15 years ago, you didn't really have that avenue, you know?
I remember,
like you said, it was just rock.
Yeah, I remember I went into we have a little kind of small, kind of dingy, and it's in a basement. It's a little heavy metal section. It's a little shop called Sound Cellar. And they play all the metal. They get absolutely everything in, anything that you want. And I found Down 2. I was like, oh shit, man, this is Down 2. It was like, you know, I was only like, what, 17, maybe 18. I found Down 2 and I went home. And I didn't even smoke weed at this time, Jimmy. This is the funny thing about this. I was never a weed smoker. But I listened to Down 2 and I was like, holy shit, this is awesome. And you remember a time when they had those little mini discs? Do you remember mini discs? And you could record onto the mini disc instead of, I recorded the first two albums onto that on a loop, and I just listened to the whole thing. I was like, holy shit, this is just phenomenal. And what a lot of Down fans don't realize, obviously now they know, because a lot of my friends didn't know over here in Ireland, that obviously people knew of Phil Anselmo, obviously, as the singer of Pantera, for sure, and thought that this was this project that came after Pantera. But obviously with the 25th anniversary, which we have to, by the way, I will just say from a personal standpoint, congratulations. That was an absolutely beautiful show. And
thanks, man.
Well deserved, got to say.
Thank you. It was fun to do. We were just glad we could do something special for the fans, you know? So... And it went over really well, and I know something that we definitely might try and do again. So, thank you.
No, I can speak on behalf of many people and say thank you as well, because it was during a time where, like you mentioned off air before we started, where we don't know where we're going to end up, and we're trying to all get back to some sort of normality and back to working. You know, that was something that brought some normality back to a lot of people, including me. I was able to wake up on a Sunday morning and make breakfast for, you know, for the family and listen to that. You know, it was really nice. And you know, those little things that you do. It was incredible. Can I ask you a question, actually? Something that I thought was really, really unique about that show, and something that I was really interested in. You brought the Native Americans in, the tribe that you brought in to play the drums. Now I'm going to sound very ignorant here to it, but I thought it was a really nice touch at the start that there was a local Native American tribe that you kind of brought into that show. What was the thought process behind that?
Well, I mean, we wanted to, you know, donate some money to somebody, and the Houma Indians are indigenous from Louisiana, and there's a big history with, you know, I mean, like a lot of the culture down here is based off of, you know, a lot of the Indian stuff, and they're just a very, very important part of the culture, and, you know, it seemed fitting, you know, so it was really cool to have them involved in it, so.
Yeah, I thought it really added to the show. It really added to the pre-show as well. And then I have to say, with the pre-show, obviously, it was great to see you guys kind of talk in stages as well about, like, the roots of Down. And obviously, I don't want to make this just a completely Down show, because obviously, I Hate God is your baby as well. So I'm kind of, you know, I'm respectful of that, so I don't want to kind of just make it about Down. I wanted to kind of talk about I Hate God after this. But in terms of having the original band together, and obviously it wasn't the fully original band, but you've had many different members, and especially on bass. What was the kind of what was the kind of feeling there, and like especially putting it together, because you guys had some funny little vignettes. We obviously saw Kirk come out with Hulk blood again. We had that again, which was pretty cool. Which I think everybody enjoyed.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. I mean, we just wanted to try and do some interviews. And stuff like that. Try and give the fans something a little special. You know, redoing the whole thing was pretty funny, you know.
It was.
And Kirk was a good sport with that, you know. And I don't know, it was just fun, man. It was the 25th anniversary, so just wanted to try and make it as special as we could, you know. So, and I hope that's what happened, you know.
It is. And I have to say, there's one question from a fan over here. His name is Roy, right? And he actually asked... And I have to ask this question. When you guys obviously started, because you guys obviously, the whole Down project, I believe, started in around 1992, right? Was that the original time, or was it early 90s?
It was 91.
Okay. So you guys had obviously had this idea, and then it was 95 when you actually brought out the project and got going with it. But when you look at it now, just when you take a step back, you know, because you're still a young man. You might call yourself old, but you're still a young man. When you take a step back and you look at it, how proud are you of, like, when you see Down 1, Down 2, Down 3, you've got so much, you just got so much life out of this one band that was meant to be a side project.
I'm really proud of it. I mean, it's the biggest opportunity I've ever had in my life, music, and to have it stay alive this long is just, you know, we're super proud of it, you know. And it's we always said Down's a cool band that you can grow old in, you know. So I mean, it's just nice, because we're like a family, you know. It's like we're all really good friends, and we all share the same musical tastes and stuff like that. So to be able to still do it and look back on our catalog is very cool, man. You know, it's you know, it's definitely been a long road, and, you know, we wrote some good songs, and just to have the fans appreciate Down as much as they do is a big deal for us, you know, so, because without the fans, we wouldn't be shite, so, you know.
I like the way you threw the Irish version of shite in there. I like that.
Yeah.
My man. Let's talk a little bit about I Hate God and Superjoint, because obviously I Hate God was maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I would assume that that's kind of your baby, right?
Yeah, me and Mike Williams.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah. Well, we're actually in the studio. We're in the studio right now mixing the new record, so that should be coming out soon. And I know we're excited because this is the first record with one guitar, because Brian's no longer with us. So, yeah, we're excited. I mean, I think it's a great record. It's really heavy from start to finish. It's like a new chapter in I Hate God, but yet it still sounds like I Hate God, you know?
Sure,
so,
sure.
So it's but yeah, just real excited about that coming out. That should come out early next year, and hopefully we'll be able to tour for it. You know, depends on all this COVID shit. So.
Touch wood. And tell me, like, have some of the songs that that you're recording now, obviously, have some of the songs been written during COVID, or were they all pre-COVID? Like, as in,
no, it was all pre-COVID.
Okay.
So I mean,
okay.
But we're actually gonna start writing again, because we want to put out like an EP of like faster songs, like more fast hardcore. So
okay,
just trying to stay as busy as we can, you know, because there ain't shit going on, dude. You know,
I know, man. And you know, the only reason I asked was because obviously during, you know, it sometimes some of the best writing that you get from you know, is usually in times of trouble or strife and stuff like that. That's the only reason I asked.
That's not really the case, but I agree with you, you know, that through travesty, you know,
sure,
really cool sure. Things happen, you know. So
sure, I mean, like Down on the Upside was, you know, obviously very heavily Katrina based, you know what I mean? So it was that was kind of the reason. When you get to play in the likes of Superjoint and play guitar, is that kind of something really cool and something different that you're able to kind of do? Like, do you kind of embrace that in the sense, or are you just kind of fucking with it? Like,
no, I mean, Superjoint's a blast. I mean, I don't know if we'll ever do anything again. We haven't really even talked about it or anything. But Superjoint's just one of those bands, man, that it's just brutal from start to finish.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It'd be nice to do a proper Superjoint tour overseas, you know, because we've only done Hellfest. So
yeah.
It'd be nice to go over there and actually really tour it. But, you know, hopefully, you know, in the future, maybe, you know.
You know what I will say, though, is Superjoint is not the kind of band that you can grow old in, right?
Why not? I mean, sure you can. Yeah.
I know. I'm only fucking with you because I know you're saying like Down is the kind of band that you can grow old in. But you see, the thing is, people know what Bower Power is, you know, and that's a thing over here. And believe it or not, a lot of my friends and a lot of the metal scene over here were actually very, very happy to know that we were going to be chatting today. And it's kind of cool that we have been able to do so. Like, obviously, when it looks like
I'm sorry, dude.
No, that's okay, dude. That's okay. It looks like we're gonna see. I'll probably hang out with you guys over in Belgium next year. Please God, because I think it's not hell. Is it Hellfest? Yeah, it is Hellfest, isn't it? In Belgium.
Grass pop.
That's the one. Yeah. I'm gonna be there. So obviously I'll be in touch with Phil there. So hopefully I'll actually get to meet you in person and have a beer, and we can properly shoot shit there. I think there's one question I want to ask you. You were part of a project, I believe, with Kyle Thomas, obviously. Another friend of the show who's been on this show a couple of times now. With Jones Lounge, right?
Yeah.
Dude, I listened to that record again about a week ago, and holy shit, man. Like, whatever about lack of production in that whole thing, that was absolutely phenomenal.
What? Yeah, it was just, I played drums on the demo, you know? So it was just, me and Kyle have been friends for a long time, and, you know, he had all these songs written and stuff, so he asked me if I'd help out and play drums on it, and later on it became something different, became Floodgate, you know? But, yeah. But yeah, it was really fun to do that project, as Kyle's a really cool old friend, man, and it was just really cool to do. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Coyle as well, obviously, on this show, because Coyle's, as I say, Coyle's a guy that I keep in regular contact with, and it's really, you know, it's really cool to see him do his thing again as well, you know, because that's a guy that deserves, you know, that's a voice that deserves to be heard, basically.
Yeah, he's a great singer, man.
Amazing singer. I mean, listen, everybody is an amazing singer that you do business with. You know what I mean? That's a thing. I suppose in kind of closing, because I don't want to keep you too long. We wanted to keep this kind of a nice kind of short-ish interview.
I'm pretty hungry, man.
What are you gonna have? You gonna have some crayfish?
No, they're not in season right now.
Oh, really?
No. I'll probably eat a couple horses or I don't know. I got people waiting on me to go to dinner. So.
Whatever you're given. Listen, my friend, I really appreciate it. Listen, it was an honor just to have you, even for, you know, even if it was 5 minutes. So I'm really appreciative of your time.
You're welcome, man.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Like I say, we will hopefully we will be this time next year we will be sitting having a beer, fingers crossed, touch wood.
That'd be great.
That would be hopefully.
That'd be great, man.
In Belgium of all places, but sure. Listen, what can you do?
good beer in Belgium. So
hell yeah, but that's all that matters, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Jimmy.
Well, all right, Ian. I appreciate it, dude.
My friend, thank you so much, and I wish you all the best, and wish all your friends and family the best. Stay safe during all of this, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, appreciate it, man. Have a great night.
You too, sir. Take care.
All
right. Bye bye.
And that is all we have time for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for tuning in and listening to the mighty Jimmy Bauer and myself have a quick conversation. It's another member of Down that has been on the show here now. It was an incredible gig. For anyone that hasn't seen it, go and check it out. No, it was 25th anniversary live stream. It was only done a couple of months ago. Over in New Orleans, check it out. It was an absolutely incredible gig. You had a bit of a taste at the start. And if Down is new to you and you like what you heard, well, why don't we play you out with Bury Me in Smoke? That is it for this week's show. Dynamo, over and out, and we'll catch you next week.